Today, I want to talk about feedback. I was reading Brené Brown's Daring Greatly, and she talks about the mindset for quality feedback. And we just back up. You know, feedback is often something we don't do really well. Mm-hmm. We tend to avoid giving it, like, I don't want to hurt their feelings, yeah. or maybe it's not worth it. They won't change anyway. And often we don't even receive it well. It's because it can land like, ooh, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can evoke defensiveness. And yet, I've seen it in many places. The quality of our families, the quality of our organizations are greatly reflects the quality of the conversations we have. Mm-hmm. And if we can't have a quality conversation with feedback, then we're hampered. Our growth is hampered. Our relationships are hampered. So a little bit about what does it take? What kind of mindset? What kind of approach does it? Because that's fundamental. If my approach to having a conversation with you is to put you in your place or to tell you how you've messed up, it's not going to clearly may evoke defensiveness, mm-hmm. and it isn't necessarily going to move you ahead. So what we're looking at is how do we have these conversations where we actually support each other in growing and support our collective intention, whatever, again, whether it's a family, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a workplace. And I know for me, first, I have to get past the vulnerability of it on either side, because for giving it, when I have feedback to give, I think, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I want them to like me. Mm-hmm. And both of those can inhibit me from having that uncomfortable conversation. And what Dr. Brown says is it's never going to be comfortable because it is a vulnerable thing. Mm-hmm. What organizations and families that have gotten really good at it is they just get used to the discomfort and know that it's worth it. Mm-hmm. So she has on her website something that's downloadable called an Engaged Feedback Checklist. And you go on to brenebrown.com and just put in Engaged Feedback Checklist. And this is a really cool document, which is really about, again, so getting your head around the quality of the conversation. There are many skill sets also involved, like separating out the data from my story. For example, saying, you were rude, as opposed to saying, when I was speaking just now, you interjected and talked on top of me. That's a huge difference.
Very different.
Yeah, you don't care about the family, or we had a plan and you were not able to follow through. So data versus story. There's lots of skills like that. We could talk about that. There's tons of books on that. But the fundamental thing is first getting our head around it, is what kind of conversation do I want to have? So this is in the Engaged Feedback Checklist. I know I'm ready to give feedback when, number one, I'm ready to sit next to you rather than across from you. Mm-hmm. Approach it as a partnership. Yep. It makes a huge difference. Even if I'm having a tough conversation, I'll write that down. What's my intention? To strengthen our partnership, strengthen our marriage, to increase the quality of our work, whatever. I put that in front of me. So if I get derailed, I come back. It's like, well, you know, here's what I'm really trying to make happen here. And sit next to you, not across from you. That's armor again, kind of protecting myself, mm-hmm. power over, as opposed to, no, we're in this together. We both can learn from this conversation. So that's number one. Number two, I'm willing to put the problem in front of us rather than between us. Mm-hmm. Let me just say it again. I said that wrong. I'm willing to put the problem in front of us rather than between us or sliding it toward you. Mm-hmm. So that means, and blaming is a lovely reflexive response. It's a way our brains work, immediately go into blame and shame, real quick, reactive. But that doesn't move anybody ahead. So you got to get past that to how do we own this and move each other ahead in this conversation. And if you start with that, I got to put them in their place and they can't do that, then, you know, you may not be ready for that conversation. Mm-hmm. You might need to go maybe gather more data, maybe check it out. Is there something in me why this is pushing my button? Maybe have a trusted friend that you can sort of process it with to separate out what's yours and why you're reacting to what happened. Number three, I'm ready to listen, ask questions, and accept that I may not fully understand the issue. You know, it's so obvious that we don't really know what's been going on for that person.
Right.
We don't see everything. We don't certainly know what their intention is. But often we start these conversations assuming, well, I know what they were doing and I know why they did it and they can't get away with that, as opposed to really that openness and curiosity. It's like, so tell me, what was going on for you when that happened? Help me, you know, understand. Let's explore what was going on. It's amazing when someone does that, it might have happened for a really, really good reason, and mm-hmm. one that we would have found quite acceptable if we'd taken the time to be curious. Number four, I want to acknowledge that you do what you do well instead of picking apart your mistakes. Dr. Brown talks about one of her teachers is a social work educator, Dennis Salibi, who says when you do feedback, do it from a strengths perspective. Meaning, you know, this is certainly true for me. My strengths are also on the other side of my strengths. The same behavior, core behavior, are my weaknesses. So because I'm action-oriented and fast, I can be impatient, I can be rude, interrupt, that kind of thing. And so if you start from, not to make it palatable, not to make a nice sandwich out of the feedback, but instead to really honor that there's strengths involved in this as well. So you bring the positive in. So for example, you know, I see your energy and intention to get this done, and I really appreciate how fast and motivated you are, and something I noticed. But that's different than making a nice sandwich. Mm-hmm. A nice sandwich is when we try to make the feedback all okay, like, wow, that's great dress today. Thank you for coming. You really messed up that meeting, but thank you for listening. You know, it's like, no. Yeah. You know, or try to throw some compliments. But it's honestly acknowledging that we all have strengths, and usually our flat sides or our less skillful sides are part of the same strength. So if we mm-hmm. start from there, it makes it easier for me to listen, but also it's easier to change because I can, you know, I can do it from my place of strength. That's related to the next one as well. Number five, I recognize your strengths and how you can use them to address your challenges. And then number six, I can hold you accountable without shaming or blaming you. That takes a lot of personal work. Mm-hmm. And it also takes work in the middle of the conversation to be able to take that breath when you notice you want to get reactive or defensive or, but you did that. You know, when you notice you have that, you have to have some way to do the interrupt function. We've talked about the pause button mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. So practice pause button. Again, I put stuff in written form in front of me to help me with this. If it's a really tough conversation, I will think through what's the most important thing to come out of this? What's the most important message? What questions should I be asking? Number seven, I'm willing to own my part. Was I unclear in my message? Or did I not support you with enough training? Am I not helping you in a way that that you need, the kind of leadership or whatever you might need to do the job well? Eight, I can genuinely thank you for your efforts rather than criticize you for your failings. I had a boss who I would never recommend to anybody, who was incredibly judgmental and incredibly harsh to absolutely every one of us. And she never understood why we were not real motivated. Mm-hmm. and she's trying to help us. And I get that she was trying to help us. And if I had been good with the feedback, I would have honored that she was trying to help us and talk about the impact it had on me. Nine, I could talk about resolving these challenges and will lead you to your growth and opportunity. Meaning I'm starting from a place of this is for productive. This isn't to bring you down. This is to move you ahead. Mm-hmm. And without any feedback, we don't grow. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we don't know. And so it's a gift for both of us to step into that discomfort and to have that conversation. And number 10, I can model the vulnerability and openness that I expect to see from you. Often when we're the one giving the feedback, we sit behind the table, right. We make it all about them. And so let me just close with a quote from Dr. Brené Brown. Again, the engaged feedback checklist I just read from is downloadable and on her website, brenebrown.com. This is a quote from her book, Daring Greatly. We should remember that victory is not getting good feedback, avoiding difficult feedback, or avoiding the need for feedback. Instead, it's taking off the armor, showing up, and engaging.